end of that. Beautiful words. And what beautiful music. Cat on the French horn, Tom on the trumpet. I mean, what a treat. A treat that is, absolutely. I'm going to attempt this in case you didn't see anything good. And I'm going to try to resist these peeps because it's kind of growing on me now that I've kind of been thinking about it back here. It wasn't bad. Forget everything I ever said about peeps. I didn't mean a word of it. Just want to begin today by wishing you all again a blessed and joyous Easter day. It is my sincere hope that your Easter brunches are filling. Who's going out for an Easter brunch or Easter lunch or something? Huh? Anybody going out to restaurants? Oh, yeah, good fair number of you. Nice. So I hope your Easter brunches are fulfilling. I hope your hams are succulent. Who's having ham today? Anybody want to? Oh, yeah, a lot of ham. Oh, thank you. You are my, you know what you are? My peeps. My peeps, you ham eaters. One of those honey-baked hams, there's like no going back after that. It should be served at every holiday. I know. Yeah, honey-baked ham? Yes. So I hope that they're absolutely succulent. And may your Easter wines flow like Cana. Who here is going to be drinking some Easter wine? I know, and a bunch of you don't want to admit it. That's okay. I get it. It's fine. And most of all, may your masters watching be entertaining, because I know that is what you're all really going home to do today. I don't know about you, but that all sounds like a wonderful Easter. And then I want to say a special thank you to our music folks, you know, our choir, our directors, our musicians. Our director, Brian, musician, Carolyn, and all those that played as well. I'm singing from Palm Sunday, you know, to Monday, Thursday, right through to today. I mean, it's really impressive. I mean, you guys nailed 6 anthems on Thursday night. And what was really one of the most moving services we've had here in a long time. We are truly blessed by your voices and your talent each and every week. And Holy Week is just a shining example of all that we get to enjoy and revel in from you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And finally, thank you to all of you, for helping to make this week seem so powerful and the stories of Good Friday and Monday, Thursday, and Easter come alive. It was a really meaningful and moving Lenten season, and especially this past Holy Week, to be sure. And of course, today, then we come to Easter. We come to Easter Sunday with the excitement and the celebratory story of the resurrection of Jesus, the heartbeat of our collective faith journey as Christians. In fact, I always love to quote the great Bill Coffin, William Sloan Coffin, great pastor of Riverside, who summed up today in one of the best ways that I ever had. He said that we live in an Easter world. That's what today means. Not a Good Friday world. The truth of this day is that you can kill God's love, but you cannot keep it dead and buried. It's all about all the strength and tenderness that on Good Friday we saw scourged and nailed to a cross, that gorgeous life that kept alive the strains of hope even as they were being drowned out by orchestrated evil and power. The love of God is what this means, is incarnate again. That is Easter. And we should celebrate it boldly. Now, in past Easter sermons, I've often taken you on a journey kind of, you know, into the story of Easter from all the sources that we have that tell of it, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and of course, the book of Acts and Paul's writings, etc. And we noticed in past years, we kind of walked through how they're different in so many details. And if you just go read them later, I'm sure you have that on your Sunday afternoon to go compare all the gospel and scripture accounts of Easter. When you do that later today with your glass of wine and your ham, you're going to notice they all paint really different pictures of a morning like no other, where the closest of Jesus' followers in some case, or even, as we heard this morning, or even 500 people in one case experienced Jesus as the risen Christ following what we call the resurrection. And though the sources are vastly different as to the who and the when and the how and the whatnots of the experiences of him after his death, they remain fervent that something really profound happened. something new had broken in upon the world as a man that they just once knew who they were eating with, and he was teaching, somehow shattered the bonds of death and rose transformed from the dead in either body or spirit. And they knew the world and life would never be the same. So this year I'm not so much interested in all the differences, but it's that story that really piques my interest. And it's a beautiful story, isn't it? Though, I always got to say this every year, it's not one I personally take literally. That was my Easter confession, you heard it here. A pastor stood in front of a church and said he doesn't take the resurrection literally. And I say that every year to give those of you who also have questions and may not take it literally license to go, well, that dude told me. So when you're in a debate, you can blame me. I just want to give you license to wrestle as well, because I do. I wrestle big time, and so I like to make that confession. I don't even really wrestle. It's fact for me now. It's not a literal occurrence, but it doesn't matter. I don't need to, because I find such meaning in the story of it, because of the hope that is so laden within what it's trying to convey, rather than the details of what might or might have not happened. We can never know that stuff. Were there any cameras back then? You know, any iPhones? You ever see the meme where Jesus comes out of the tomb and it's all bright? And then he's like, whoa, and everybody's taking pictures of him? That wasn't around. But something happened. Something happened. And though we never know, it's still a really powerful story. Rather, life in a new and mysteriously transformed way, that's the story, that it continues on in some way on this journey. And the story for me then is not that Jesus came into the world to die for my sins so that I may have salvation and eternal life. If I happen to be lucky enough to be born into the right religion and culture that teaches that, like the salvation lottery, right? You won, you lost. Sorry, Buddhist, you lost. I mean, come on. That to me is an old paradigm story whose expiration date has come and gone. And we need to put that away. But no, the story that many told and fervently believed is that in some way, in some fashion, way back then on that Easter, the universal consciousness that we name God broke into life, and the death cycle of Jesus was shattered forever, and the myth of damnation and judgment and exclusion and fear was put away, and a spirit of togetherness was unleashed on the world like it had never seen before, and reminded us that this life is just but a rest. This life is just but one rest on an otherwise much longer journey that we're all in together. We're all in together. And obviously, again, I don't know what happened in that cave that we call the first Easter morning, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I don't know. No one does, no matter how certain they may seem, for we only have the stories. But the reality is that the people of the time experienced something so profound that it changed not only their immediate lives from that point on, but it changed the coming decades and centuries and really the entire fabric of existence right into this very day as we gather here 2,000 years later. Think about that. Still telling the story, or better yet, dare I say, living the story, living by its light yet again. It means something profound to us still today, and we yearn deep in our bones to share it again and again and again. You all could have done anything else this morning. Could have gone to brunch early, beat the crowds. Could have gone to the beach, you know, could have watched the Masters. Could have sat at home eating peeps with your peeps. You all could have done anything else today, but you're here. Why is that? You're here to live the story. You're here to be a part of the story. We may not be able to explain it, but we live our lives by its light. It reminds me of what C.S. Lewis wrote one time. He said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." Perhaps for us today, we can share similar sentiments and say we believe in the power of Easter, not because we understand it or even believe it, but because through its hope and promise and joy, through its challenge to that dang Good Friday world, we can't help but see everything else. Now, speaking of not knowing, and I don't know a lot of things, not having all the answers, I was flipping the channels the other night after watching another wonderful episode, shameless plug here, my favorite all-time show, Ted Lasso. Any Ted Lasso watchers out here? Come on. Oh, yes. And if there is a sin in this world, not watching Ted Lasso is it. So the rest of you have homework and atoning to do. Go home and get Apple Plus and watch Ted Lasso tonight. So we watched this episode. This show is amazing. It'll change your outlook on life. We need good stuff in the world, right? Yeah. That show is one of them. I'm done. Shameless plug over. But I mean it. We watched episode 4 the other night, and I'm looking for something else to watch later, and I'm flipping around, and what do I see during Holy Week? Some of those television preachers, you know? Funds Ivan loves to watch every single night. Drives you, how do you do that? I had 5 minutes and I was going crazy. Threw my controller through the TV. Not for you, Jimmy Swaggart. I don't remember which one, but this particular fellow was talking about Easter and resurrection, and he was so sure of himself and all. He was so sure that he had all the right answers. So confident, and he had all the right beliefs, and he was so sure that his brand of Easter was the correct one, and anyone that didn't believe that was never going to enjoy the pearly gates of eternal life. That he had convinced himself that only he, apparently, and those that listen to him are going to enjoy. Honest to God, the hubris of these people. My first thought was just, what a bunch of baloney. What a bunch of baloney. But it got me thinking, as I said just a bit ago, that I don't know what happened. Not buying his version, trust me, but I don't know what happened in that tomb on that morning we call the resurrection. But what I do know is that those who experienced that morning experienced, and in the days and weeks to come, experienced something really profound and powerful. And that experience was so profound that it propelled them to set in motion the greatest social love movement the world had ever known to that point. And because of their experiences, you know what they began doing because of that? They started gathering for meals, and they started singing hymns. It's all in the book of Acts. And they started sharing prayers, and they shared all their goods, something we've never done here. And I don't think we will, because I don't think that would pass anything muster. They started sharing all their goods and held things in common so that every single person had a chance to live a good life. And in the decades and centuries to follow, you know what happened from that movement, from that experience? The first ever orphanages popped up, and the first hospitals, and the first homeless shelters, and the first food banks and things to help a hurting neighbor in a tough time. Those things began to spread wide and far as the Christian movement began to grow. In fact, Bart Ehrman, the greatest historical Christianity scholar alive today, in my opinion, in a video that the Thursday group just finished called The Triumph of Christianity, he pointed out that in the Roman pagan world of that time, and in the decades and centuries that followed, those things didn't exist. Can you imagine that? There was a time when there were no social nets for anybody. Rampant individualism. You live, you die. Too bad. That's just the way it was. But based on what was experienced on that quiet morning, you know, in that tomb, or at the tomb, or in a vision in some cases, or even in an upper room later on by many of the followers of Jesus on what we call Easter morning, well, Those experiences changed the world forever and continue to do so right to this very day. And what that was again is the realization that we do not have to live in a Good Friday world. In a world where death and fear and poverty and war and other evils win. In the end, rather, Easter ushered in a new reality that, at least for the time, changed everything, and the world around it would never be the same. And that's what we celebrate this day, that the world swerved after an Easter experience of those earliest followers and turned a new direction on a path of love and care. And I know, Mike, that initial meaning may have been short-lived, especially as Christianity became empire eventually. And obviously Christianity continues to undulate between, the darkness of Good Friday and Easter still today. But what was began has never ceased and only has the chance to continue to go stronger today, all these years later. Now call me utopian, and I am. I'm a glass half full person. But I'm a big believer of that quote Martin Luther King Jr. shared, that the moral arc of the universe is long, but you know what it does, right? It bends toward justice. Amen. So maybe today we say the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward love. Or maybe even dare we say today the arc of the moral universe is long, but it finally is bending toward Easter. It finally bends toward what Easter means to a world that desperately needs it. And a people who desperately need it. And so on this day, I like to think that what I see in the so many injustices right now in our world, it's dark times, right? I like to think that Easter is just bending into those times. It's bending on in there with a courage and a conquer the fear of the Good Friday world. And it's bending into all of the places of fear and division and evil. And honestly, just thinking of all of these current events bombarding us right now, if you dare to turn on your television or check your social media, as I look at that, I gotta trust in all those Good Friday moments that, yes, Easter is there to meet those moments. Easter is there to counter them, to shine a new light into them and bathe them in hope. I have to, or otherwise, like so many of you, it's just going to be too much. Who here just feels overwhelmed right now? Yeah, the size. You don't need to raise your hands. The sighs say enough. Good Friday, God dang it, has had its say. But we have to proclaim that Easter says a resounding no more to that say. And we have to really believe that in our hearts, or we're going to go crazy. What I mean by that is that Good Friday, I don't know, pick an issue. Good Friday is about the reality of 9-year-olds, getting gunned down in classrooms. Or the other, 7 mass shootings since then? Done by way too available mass killing weapons that should be illegal? But Easter bends into those Good Friday moments. It bends in and it illuminates the thousands. I don't know, did you see it? The thousands of young people marching in the streets saying enough, enough, and calling for change and getting ready to make it. That's what Easter's doing. That's what Easter's doing. Good Friday is about racist systems that expel black men from the state house in Tennessee, even though they didn't expel the white woman that was standing there with them. But that's not racist. No, we just want to expel the black guys. That's all, but it's not racism. Ageism, yes. Young ages, reverse ageism. Anything but racism, don't call it that. Oh my God, so that happens, but Easter is there. I don't know if you caught it, but it's there, bending in an illuminating response from the massive number of Americans, especially you young Americans out there right now. I see you. That is wrong, and that is racist, and that is of a day and age whose time has come, and it's got to go away. along with all the racists. Vote them out. That's Easter bending in, making things more just. In those moments, that one of the reps calling me right now, offended. I ain't racist, even though I only expelled the two black guys and not the white woman. Easter bends in, and it conquers Good Friday. Good Friday is about erasing the history of some of the terrible sins that's happening here in Florida of our nation so they can it can become easier to repeat them in an increasingly judgmental and exclusive climate by a few. But Easter bends in and shines a light on all of it so we can learn from the past and never, ever make the same awful, hurtful, terrible mistakes so that people cannot be judged, that they can just be who they were born to be, their God-given rights, and live with their full human dignity. Easter bends in and illuminates all of the togetherness and in working to overcome those injustices and those divisions and those fears. Easter bends in. Finally, Easter bends in on you as well, into your lives. No matter where you find yourself in life, it can, if you will let it, speak a word of trust into your own Good Friday moments, of fear and anxiety, or health issues and illness, the things that leave you down and out, you know, depressed and worried, or feeling a sense of unwholeness in your life. Easter bends in like it did to those earliest followers of Jesus who were in some of the really darkest times and periods of their lives, who were no doubt wondering after he was killed, how do we go on? Are they coming for us next? How do we pick up the pieces? How do we live with peace? How do we live with joy in these joyless times? But Easter bent in, and somehow, some way, they all knew that life would never be the same and that the darkness of the past would never win when it came to anything that came their way. For once you've been confronted by the power of Easter, this is what I really want you to remember today. Once you've been confronted by the power of Easter, as was evidenced and how it changed their lives, well, it shows that the Good Friday world doesn't stand a chance, and Easter can conquer all of our fears and hurts and anxiety with the hope that seems to come from beyond the grave. That's the power of what we celebrate today. It's my hope for you is that no matter what Good Friday fears are lingering in your minds, in your hearts, in your bodies, in your spirits, today can fill you with hope, courage, and confidence that these things will not have the final say for you, for us, for our nation, or for our world. Easter says, not on my watch, not on my watch. There is another way. So let's be like the earliest followers of Jesus on that first Easter morning in the damp heat of the morning, the sun rising on a new day in a new way, when they believed firmly that everything was different from then on out. And for them, an Easter hope truly led the way. Okay, speaking of hope, I want to leave you with some of the words of one of America's most profound poets these days, Amanda Gorman. Oh, yes. It's just a small snippet of a piece of her poem called "The Hill We Climbed." Yeah, finished in those dark days after the January 6th tourism event. It's another day. I've been to the Capitol. Didn't you just storm on in with bats and flags and mace? That's what I did. Did you not do that? I digress. I need a peep. This poem was delivered, finished right after the insurrection, January 6th, and delivered so powerfully just a few weeks later at the presidential inauguration. Her words of hope remind me of the promise and the power of Easter. So we close with her words. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We brave the belly of the beast We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. And the norms and notions of what just isn't always justice. And yet the dawn is ours before we knew it. Somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We, the successors of a country in a time where a skinny black girl descended from slaves and raised by a single mother, can dream of becoming president, only to find herself reciting for one. I wish you a day of basking in the power, that power of Easter, and its never-ending reminder that life conquers death, love conquers hate, hope conquers fear, and that there is no hill anywhere that cannot be climbed into the light of a new day that is not ready to shine into our lives and into our world. That is what this day is about, and what a day it is. I wish you a blessed Easter, my friends. Let us rejoice always and say together, hallelujah. Come on, give it to me. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. One more. Hallelujah. Amen and happy Easter.